privilege for me to be able to, you guys can have a seat, to be able to introduce to you and welcome to teach us this morning one of our global partners. You've probably seen his face before. Actually, a couple that we support, Dick and Kathy Scoggins, are with us. And they have been such a blessing to our church community for years. They've been involved in church plants, and in teaching powerfully through the Holy Spirit here. And so Dick is coming this morning to bring the word to us, and I want to just invite you to welcome him with me.
Wow. What a crowd. So good to be here with you. If I get my iPad to work and get to my notes, I'll be in good shape, but I might need some help here. No, okay, I'm here. The title of my message today is The Heavenly Foxborough. How have you been to Foxborough? Been to Foxborough? Yeah, there you go. So this is the stadium. When Paul writes in Hebrews that we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, he's alluding to the Roman Colosseum. I've actually been there, okay, in Rome. It's a massive structure. I mean, huge. And so he's a captive in Rome, probably killed in the Colosseum, a martyr in the Colosseum. And so he talks about this great cloud of witnesses. And they're in heaven now. And they're watching us, those who've gone before us. How many of you have had friends or loved ones who've passed away? Yeah, of course, the pandemic has taken a large number of people. So it's a very strange journey, but God knows the journey. And as we consider things, we need to realize we are the gladiators in the arena while we're alive. The great cloud of witnesses are those who've gone before us and are cheering us on. You know, Christians, I think some have the idea there's privacy. There's no privacy in heaven. They see everything. And they're cheering for you. They're wanting the best. So Hebrews 11:1 talks about this great cloud of witnesses. Guys like Dick Raftery, Carmen Felch, Ed Bergeron, just to name a few. Lucy. We're the gladiators. We're the ones they're cheering on now. And, of course, not only do we have those cheering for us, we have the principalities and powers, the rulers of darkness, who also are in the stands, cheering for our demise, cheering that we will stumble and fall. And things like pandemics often bring out the worst in us. Listen, you're only as strong as your ability to resist temptation. And it's okay when you fail, as long as you go and seek help and say, I need to be stronger. Because the devil's not very creative. If you stumble there once, he'll throw the same trap at you until you figure out how do we avoid that. So we need to realize that we're in a cosmic war. One day, when we go to heaven, we will begin to receive our rewards. We won't receive our full rewards until the new heaven and new earth. Apparently, we have to rule over things. So I want to rule over planetary systems. You know, forget a little town, you know. It's like so we need to keep in mind. But there's a real war. There's real casualties. There's twists and turns. And you've seen them, and so have I. Whether I was in Rhode Island, whether in England, and now in California, they're all there. The young generation growing up is facing temptations and struggles that we in the older generation will not face. So we need to be aware of that, and we need to support them, and we need to encourage them, okay, all the more as you see the day drawing near, like the cheering spectators around the gladiators. Now, by the way, I believe God is generally a rewarder, not a condemner, so we receive rewards based on the fruit that we bore, but we need to cheer and encourage each other on. I wonder what are rewards like. When you get in heaven, you're not going to be saying, boy, I wish I had those rewards that the other guy had. You're not going to be jealous in heaven. So I kind of imagine rewards in heaven kind of like senses. Okay, I'm like blind, literally, without glasses. Okay, but I remember when I got my first pair of glasses, I was in the third grade, and I couldn't believe you could see the gravel pellets in the playground. It's like, seriously, it's just all gray before, and all of a sudden I could see the pellets in the playground. Well, I think that's what rewards are going to be like in heaven. We'll be able to see a lot more. We'll be able to observe a lot more. You won't know what somebody else isn't seeing, but you'll be able to appreciate God all the more. Now, if we realize that, then of course we want to do and strive for the greatest rewards. Why? Because it's being part of God's kingdom and allowing that kingdom to bless others. What's the key mark of those in the kingdom of God? It's love. He who loves is born of God and knows God. Not he who has the best theology or the best system of belief. It's he who loves is born of God. I have a retarded brother. Has an IQ of about 50. Very severely retarded from birth. And I remember when I got saved, I wanted to tell all my relatives about Jesus. And so I did, and they, kind of like, okay, whatever, Dick. Yeah, you're kind of crazy anyway. So I decided I'm praying to God. Okay, now God, do retarded people need to know Jesus? I didn't get any answer, so I figured, well, I should talk to him. So I said, Aaron, what do you know about Jesus? And he preaches the gospel to me. I'm like, oh, crap, he's saved. So before I was, God chooses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. So I told my dad, I said, Dad, you got to take Aaron to church because he's a believer like me. So my dad started taking Aaron to church, and guess what happened? Yeah, my dad got saved, of course. Okay. So it's like God uses relationship and organic and whatever else. And as I grow older and grow nearer to the heavenly gate, I become more aware of those who've gone before cheering us on. It's kind of interesting because when I moved to England and got involved in the Anglican Church, Catholics and Anglo-Catholics really believe strongly in this heavenly hereafter. You can even pray to the saints if you're a Catholic. Okay? Now, what do you think about that? Do I think my mother can hear my prayers in heaven? Why would she? Can she be involved? Yeah, I have no idea. Those are mysteries that I'm not aware of. But clearly in Hebrews 11, we see this great crowd of witnesses who've already died cheering us on in a gladiatorial theater. I look forward to the day I see Dick and Mary Raftery again, Ed and Lucy Bergeron, Carmen and Edith Felch, my dad, my mom, my grandmother, who was a Quaker, and my mom rebelled against the Quakerism. But they're all going to be there. Because he who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God. We need to stop preaching theology and learn to live a life of love where people can visibly see the kingdom of God alive in us. Not heaven, the kingdom of God now on earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You are the living emissaries of the kingdom of God. You're the ambassadors of Jesus. When people look at you, they need to see Jesus and God and love. We can't fully grasp the benevolence of our Heavenly Father who sacrificed His Son to recover Adam and Eve. So I want to encourage you, stay in the fight. Don't quit. I may not see you again in this world, but I certainly will see you in the future, and we will have lots and lots and lots of eternity to share together. May God bless you all abundantly.